I would remind you, if you have not already, to pass the fellowship books down the row and put your names in there. We're helpful for us to know that you were here. Several months ago, Russell Moore, a former top official for the Southern Baptist Convention, who's now the editor-in-chief for one of evangelicalism's flagship magazines, Christianity Today, he warned that some evangelical Christians are rejecting the teachings of Jesus as being too weak for their liking. In an interview last fall, Moore stated he believes Christianity is in a crisis in its current state. Multiple pastors, he said, have told him essentially the same story. When they're preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, a portion of which we heard today from Luke's version, when preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, they have been approached by people asking, "Where did you get these talking points?" And when the pastors replied, "I'm literally quoting Jesus Christ," the response received is, "Yeah, but that doesn't work anymore. That's weak." When we get to the point, Moore said, where the teachings of Jesus himself are seen as subversive to us, then we're in a crisis. And I think he's right. And I think he's wrong, both at the same time. I think he's right, 100% completely right, that when Christians' understanding of who Jesus is, and therefore of who God is so out of whack that when they hear the teaching of Jesus, they're offended, that is a crisis. When followers of Jesus have so twisted their understanding of what Jesus calls us to do as we follow him, when we're so far off from his teaching about who we are supposed to be and how we're supposed to live, that Jesus' own words make us angry, that we want to reject Jesus, what can you call that other than a crisis in the community of faith? How is that not a disaster? And yet, it's never so simple, is it? There is almost always more than one way to look at things, more than one right answer. And yet, is it not the case that Jesus' teaching is always, every single time, supposed to convict us of whatever we are wrong about? Is it not true that we are never to the point that Jesus' teaching no longer has the possibility to offend us, to shock us, to unnerve us, to push us again towards transformation into the people of the kingdom? Now that may strike us as odd. We like to think that maybe we're at least doing okay, as Deacon Katie said with the children, not perfect, but doing our best. Indeed, one time many years ago in a sermon, I said, "Jesus is countercultural," and one of the members said to me after in the handshaking line, "That really shocked me. I always thought of our culture as being shaped by Jesus." It may indeed most of the time strike us as normal to hear Jesus' teaching, Jesus' words, Jesus' call to his way of discipleship in our life. It's normal for us to think, yeah, that runs against the ways of the world. But it's a bit more strange to hear Jesus' teaching, Jesus' words, Jesus' call to the way of discipleship in our lives often runs against the ways of culture. Even our Christian teaching influenced nation, our people, our neighbors. And it might sound completely foreign to hear that Jesus teaching, Jesus words, Jesus call to his way of discipleship runs against the church, runs against our faith, runs against our discipleship, our own faithfulness. But that, it seems to me, is exactly what this gospel reading from Luke is saying to us today. And spoilers, next week's gospel too. It seems to me exactly what our gospel reading, this proclamation that we call the Beatitudes, proclaims to us, announces and decrees to us, I am here to change what you think. I'm here to turn your view, your reality, your heart upside down. I'm here to transform your heart with the fire of God's kingdom, God's reign, God's love. Because you're not there yet. When we stop to think about it, the messages we hear all around us, the messages that we buy into as part of our everyday life, the messages that we cling to, the messages which we use to judge ourselves, evaluate ourselves, measure ourselves, oh, so often, if not always, run counter to Jesus. Not completely, not totally, and yet we do believe we're not perfect in faith. We're on a journey of faith, not a journey which goes to a certain place, but a continual journey that always and forever can go more deeply into the depths of God's love, God's being, God's grace. And there's always a need for Jesus' words to shock us, to change us, to point out a need for more growth. I invite you in the coming week, pay attention to the messages that are around you, messages of faith and other messages that you hear, and think about how does Jesus' teaching mesh or not mesh with this? Think about the commercials which you see on television. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, because you will inherit the kingdom." But an ad says, "Blessed are you who drive a Lincoln. For you will be as suave, as beautiful, as perfect as Matthew McConaughey." Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled by God." While an ad says, "Blessed are you who eat a Big Mac and crispy golden fries and a McFlurry, for you will always have a smile on your face, be the picture of health and experience love for life." And it's not just the ads. I mean, we don't expect the ads to line up with the teachings of Jesus. But it's also sometimes the foundations of our understanding of what's important, of what matters, of what we're about, of life. Jesus says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for God will bring you joy." While we tell ourselves, "Blessed am I if I can just check 3 more things off the list. If I can just meet that goal. As soon as I succeed in reaching this achievement, when I get that grade, that award, this evaluation, that raise, that figure in my retirement account." Jesus says, "Blessed are you when others exclude you, revile you, when people turn against you because you follow me in standing up and giving of yourself for the broken and despised and marginalized, rejected and hated." And in the back of our minds, deep down, that little voice, you know, says, blessed are you when you win, when you triumph, when you prove that you are better than those who have failed. Do you see? Do you hear? Now, please let me say, hear me when I say this. I'm not saying none of those things are important. Doing your best, reaching goals, making good grades, excelling, providing for your family, saving for the future, taking good care of yourself and your loved ones, all of those things that are named or that I implied in those statements, I'm not saying those things are evil. What I'm saying, what I'm hearing in today's gospel from Luke, in Jesus' words, these beatitudes, these blessings which Jesus announces, I'm hearing these things are not ultimate. They are not where we as followers of Jesus find our deepest meaning, our final hope. They are not the highest guiding stars by which we are called to chart our paths. Because the things of God, the ways of Christ, the things that we lift up in this baptismal liturgy today, Ryan and Leah are enfolded into God's love. The urgings, the guidings, the whispers of God's breath in our hearts, the stirrings of the Holy Spirit lead us toward things that are deeper, things greater, things more valuable than any of the things that the world, that even we in the back of our own minds tell us are the most important. The ways of Christ lead to the blessings of God. The ways of Christ lead to God's joy in our lives, lead to the reign of God, the kingdom, the new reality of God, where all are beloved, where all are valued, where all are moved with compassion, empathy, connection, renewal, the restoration of God between us and God and between us and all others. Friends, this is the good news. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the despised, because God has compassion for all who are hurting. Blessed are you when you embody God's compassion. Blessed are you when your heart comprehends the compassion of God for all who cry out. Blessed are you when your heart grasps God's astonishing grace for you and for others, especially for the others that the world's beatitudes would label losers and lost. Blessed are you. Happy are you, joyful, whole, gratified, satisfied, beloved are you when your heart realizes, that is, makes real God's presence, God's love for the world. Amen.